If you're one of the 0.2% of people that don't know about Amazon Prime Day, it is Monday, and it's an epic day of the best deals going on Amazon Prime. Help support Rob as a Podcast when you use our associate link for Amazon.com. You can get it on the front page of RobHasAWebsite.com or by going to Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That's Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who loves all of you more than Scotty loves Brett. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother recap here tonight, Sunday, July 15th, and we're talking about Scotty and his nominations, putting the bros up on the block. Very excited to get into all of that and much more with you guys here tonight. Of course, we've got a fantastic guest with us here tonight. Of course, we always love to hear from her during the Big Brother season. She is the co-host of our MTV reality wrap up, talking about including the challenge Final Reckoning with half the cast of BB18. Please welcome back Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I always love being here. It's always an exciting time when I get the Big Brother call, but I think even less happened this episode than the last time I was on, which was the recap of the recap.
So no, I disagree.
We have our work cut out for us tonight.
I disagree. I think there was a lot to talk about here. And let's bring in our resident super genius here, like Scotty. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. But Rob, I have to tell you, I am really scared because Allie has so much charisma and it's really intimidating. I feel like we've got to make her get
She's
out
so
of here.
Good. She's so good. Everything she says.
That's so creepy.
Oh my God. Just like blows my mind. Everything. It's like so crazy.
I'm just convinced.
I'm convinced.
I hate that so much more now than I did even on the episode. Just a high bar.
All right. We got a lot to talk about. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions here tonight with Allie and Taryn, talking about everything from Sunday night and much more. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, going to be back at it. Summer of Stein, week number 3. Get your questions in for Eric Stein. Either email me, bigbrother@robiswebsite.com, or send us a voicemail, robiswebsite.com/voicemail, or 323-282-RHAP for that. But that'll be Monday's problem. We're talking about everything from Sunday night. First off, Allie, what are your thoughts on BB20?
I've been having fun watching it so far. I think there are still members of the cast that I didn't know coming into this episode. Like, they cut to Winston when he's congratulating Scotty, and I'm like, who's this guy auditioning to host like the next Castaway with $1 million, Naked, Afraid show? I was like, who's this host that they just dropped into the middle of the scene? Oh, it's Winston. And he's going to be the star of the entire episode. Mm-hmm. So I think generally I've been having a lot of fun with it. I've been loving listening to the podcast every day. Every day. But I'm still waiting to like really sink in, I think, to the characters.
Taryn, I thought we got a lot of strategy here tonight. Probably even more than we normally get in terms of a HOH.
Yeah, definitely. I've really, you know, maybe it's just the contrast from Big Brother Canada to Big Brother US, but I've really been enjoying the episodes in terms of the portrayal of what's actually happening in the house. I love that we got the kind of, we got caught up on who the bros are and why they're acting the way they're acting. We got exactly what Scotty was thinking in terms of the vote and what his plan was for the nomination and how he was going to justify it. And then we got stuff from Bailey and we got stuff from Tyler about what he wanted. So I was pretty happy overall.
Taryn, did we learn anything tonight new about Bailey's power app that we didn't know from the live feeds?
You know, she talked about it like how like the HOH wouldn't be able to deny the fact that these weren't their nominations. But I didn't see that written down anywhere on the Power Up. So I'm not sure where she came up with that, if she was told that separately or if she just kind of assumed
maybe
it.
Maybe in her head she thought that's what how it was. Alex, yeah. So over the weekend, it came out on the feed that Bailey got the Power App and she is able to steal the identity of the HOH and put up her own nominations. What do you think about this as a power?
I like it as a power. I think it's totally sucks for the person who's HOH, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they've been doing a pretty good job of couching the power, like the Cloud app. Okay, you can only use it on the HOH or the veto nomination. Here, whoever is the HOH still has the opportunity to do the renoms. So I like it. I was trying to rank them in my head. I know the ranking's a little touch and go here on RJP, but
no, all of this. Some would say it's arbitrary and I forget what the other one was, but no, it's fine here. We like to rank.
All right. So can we talk about that between the three of the powers? Like, I think this is better as a power than the Cloud, but maybe not for Tyler, right? Because Tyler seems to be in the ear of everyone anyway, and he seems to have more of an ability to naturally manipulate whoever is in power, like his conversation with Scotty tonight, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Not that it was effective, but he gets a lot of information out of seemingly whoever is HOH. So I think this is a pretty good power overall, definitely better suited for someone like Bailey, who maybe isn't making the best relationships and would need to be like taking over HOH basically to make the power worthwhile for her.
You agree with that, Taryn?
Yeah, I mean, I think the identity theft is the best power by far. It has very little drawbacks. You get to remain anonymous. All you have to do is not tell anybody, and you can essentially force the hand of an HOH. If you happen to be in the majority, it's even better mm-hmm. because you can essentially negate the HOH of a minority win. And even if you are in the minority, you still have a somewhat decent shot at completely changing the narrative and shifting things around. Compare that to the Cloud, which is almost entirely useless unless you're backdoored. And then the bonus life, which I think is better than the Cloud, but the fact that you're forced to use it in week four is definitely a significant disadvantage to that power as well. So I definitely say identity theft first, then bonus life, then the Cloud.
See, I think the bonus life sucks. Sorry to jump in, Rob.
Yeah.
I just feel like maybe it's just I'm very results oriented also. I'm just like being Steven Fishback, I think, tonight. But I don't know. I just think the bonus life is total garbage and maybe because it's the way that it's worked out. But the fact that who's ever the fourth week automatically gets it, like it's just complete bullshit. She's never going to use it. Yeah. And it's going to be the fourth week. And I'm sure it'll work out. So it's someone that she wouldn't have saved.
That being said, though, she was on the block when she got it. And it was the only thing that probably would have benefited her, where the other things like, what does she need to change the nomination? Like the nominations were already cast. She was already on the block, I think, when we got the first Power App. Is that right, Taryn?
Yeah, yeah. She. I mean, if she hadn't gotten that particular one, she would have left the first week. And also, I think the real power with the bonus life comes in the bargaining, where you when you tell people about it who are your allies, you can tell them, I'm going to use it on you. It gives them a lot of incentive to keep you around. And it'll also help you maintain your numbers. So, you know, if you are part of an alliance, if within those first 4 weeks, any one of them gets sent home, you can essentially reverse that, which is a pretty good power. The problem is that Sam doesn't really have that many allegiances, so ultimately this might go unused.
Ali, do we know if the Cloud Power App is eligible to be used on TKO?
I was thinking, honestly, I was coming here to podcast about TKO, so I'm a little bit confused.
Did you
myself.
Watch?
Did I watch? That's going to be a hard no.
Okay, well, let's talk through what was going on with Scotty and his HOH and how he ultimately arrived at what he wanted to do. And we got to see a little bit of his thought process. First, Taryn, I know from the overnight live feeds on Friday, there was a lot of questions still about what Scotty was doing with this Hinky vote. He ended up saying that he felt like he was at the bottom of Faute, and by doing this Hinky vote and blaming it on somebody else in the alliance, he was going to be able to move up the totem pole of Faude. Do you like this at all?
No, that was terrible reasoning. He was never, ever going to get away with it. I really just, and he thought he could get away with it. He continued to lie about it, but he didn't. They immediately figured it out. That was dumb reasoning. However, I do think there was another reason why he did it, and that was revealed when he went to go get the Power app. He was like, I tried so hard to get it this time. I absolutely think that he wore the swaggy shirt and encouraged people to wear swaggy shirts so that he could make a big move and be like, oh, look, I'm voting out swaggy. Isn't this crazy? Mm-hmm. I should be trending. He definitely had those strategic intentions as well that I think were dumb, but I can't fault him too much for trying to get trending. He actually was trending on Twitter, like an actually trending and not just voting trending. So he did something right.
Hey, look, I think that we always kill these shows for doing stuff that's not in the best interest of the actual show to do whatever sort of twist, but I think that they actually stumbled onto something here where it feels like that players are under the impression, oh, I got to play hard because that's what America wants to see. I was even listening to a conversation on the live feeds over the weekend, Allie, where they're talking about like, oh, America, that's what they want to see. They want to see big moves and not like last season. They feel like that the house, these players have come in here and they want to play hard because they want to be liked.
Can I ask a question about that? When it comes to like Scotty, is like, I'm sick of these cowards. I'm not going to do something cowardly this week. What is he thinking there? Is that just more appealing to America, like you're saying? Because I don't think Caitlyn made a cowardly move, and I don't think he would say that she did. So is that just still with the narrative of,
well,
not
which
wanting
move
to
when she put up when she voted against Steve, or with the nominations that she made?
Backdooring Swaggy.
I don't know, did he say that was a cowardly move?
He didn't say that in particular was a cowardly move, but he just definitely, which I think points to what Ali is saying, where I think he is mostly saying this to be like, hey, we're not Paul and his minions. Mm-hmm. We're not cowardly. We saw this happen on Big Brother Canada as well. We're like, anytime anybody does anything, you're going to call them cowardly. However, there is a hint of truth in it. When he's talking about people being cowardly, he's mostly talking about the fact that For some reason, everybody on level six, and he doesn't know they're level six, but those people have not been targeted. And for some reason, people seem to be scared to go against them. He doesn't realize that some reason is Tyler. He thinks that it's just like some kind of general fear or something. But I think, again, part of this is the fact that he is a fan and he kind of knows what keywords to say. Like, we're not cowards. We're going to make big moves. Like me, America.
Mm-hmm. Ali, Tyler has been so out in front so far through the first 2 weeks of the season. Did you like seeing tonight that he wasn't able to get his way at all with Scotty?
So he didn't get his way, but I can't understand why they're not even a little bit suspicious. Like, he outlines all of the members of level six to Tyler, doesn't even consider it. And then even the killer is when Brett is saying, just think about who's been in Caitlyn's ear all last week. And he's like, oh yeah, Tyler. And that's just like not even ringing
like,
a bell.
No, rock star.
Talk about charisma. Like, there must be something better about Tyler in person. Like, I like him fine enough on the show, mm-hmm. but for us, it's so obvious. And usually it's like, okay, the viewers can say it's so obvious that he's running the show. But Scotty himself says, I know that Tyler was in Caitlyn's ear and still is giving him all this information. So like he says, he's going to take an L this week, at least at this stage, but he's still gotten all of the inside information from the HOH.
Hold on, Allie. Are you saying that when we tune in on Wednesday night to TKO and we see Tyler going through the obstacle course, do you think that people will be reluctant to use the frizz boom on him and take him out if they have the opportunity?
Well, we is a strong word when you say when we tune in to TKO, but this is totally random and I shouldn't be doing this on your podcast, but I did see the commercial for TKO after this. And you see, they said like Men's Health said Kevin Hart is hilarious.
Yes. So was that out of context, do you think?
Yes. Kevin Hart, comedian, is hilarious. End quote.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Sorry.
What else can you say?
Yeah, because Men's Health is a monthly periodical. I'm not sure if they would have gotten the advanced copies of TKO. I feel like they don't do a lot of TV reviews in Men's Health, but who knows? Let's see if we could find that Men's Health article where
I'll take that on. I'll get to the bottom of that. I'll circle back next week.
Okay, Taryn, Scotty had two questions. Question number one. where were you on the night Steve got evicted? And question number two, who's the biggest threat in the house? Two questions.
I actually liked this approach. Scotty definitely took a page out of Vanessa's book in terms
Rick
of...
Rick Grimes' like, book, too.
Yeah.
What do you know about Steve?
Have you killed anybody?
How many people have you blindsided? Why?
How many boyfriends have broken up with you? he needs a reason. He needs a reason to do what he's going to do. And so the way he's going to come up with this is the quest to find out what happened with Steve during Steve's week. And then also, he didn't outline this to us on the feeds, but I really also like the second question of like, who do you think is that you're scared of? Who's a dangerous player? Because he's been using this line that like, hey, everybody came up to me and said the bros. And I forgot that that wasn't true. Like I believed him and I have like omniscience and over this house. So like, it's a good line and it's a good strategy. I really like what Scotty did here.
Allie, do you like that Scotty's quest to avenge Steve, has, prolonged
summer Steve 2018.
Where were you on the night Steve got evicted? Might be the funniest thing I've ever heard in the podcast.
He's going to get to the bottom of this.
See, on my show, when I completely lose it, it's fine, but I'm trying to pull myself together here. No, I mean, if this is the bar for what an evil genius mastermind is, like, it's a pretty low bar. I mean, Taryn, you're convincing me that it's a better... I knew that was his strategy. I didn't know that he was actually using it that way. Like, he was trying to say that I'm going to make it like it wasn't my idea to put up the bros, but it seems, like, a little heavy-handed. Like, are people actually buying that?
I mean, people know that it was his plan. Like that part of it didn't work. But in terms of like having a sort of justifiable excuse to do what he did and to sort of shut things down and turn people around on each other by saying like, look, everybody said this name. There were a lot of people, JC and Tyler were trying to convince him to go the other way. And he just kept saying, yeah, but even people from the other side told me about the bros, which is part of one of the reasons why Tyler just shut down. Cause he was like, well, like if other people are saying that, then I need to calm down because I don't want to out myself.
0.2% of people would have fallen for this. But Steve, back to the Steve thing. Sorry to answer your actual question for a change. It's pretty sad. Like I was trying to like, okay, Scotty is fully Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. Mm-hmm. And I can't decide that if he's like, if the Brain and Pinky were the same character and that's he's like growing more and more crazy as he gets more power. Or if this is what, and this, I tweeted this, but like, if this is what the Pinky would do if the Brain like took a day off, like is Steve the Brain and now Pinky's like spiraling out of control. I just think it's like a sad move to be. He even says like, I'm still trying to figure out what happened week one. Like, let it go. I'm still trying to figure out what happened week one. You knew this guy for like 5 days. It's fine.
Yeah. Taryn, this is a crazy house where I feel like that even the two votes that I've had, there's a lot of questions about who voted for whom in each of those first two votes. And that brings us into Winston and Brett. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Winston is lying about this, that he was on the side that kept Sam. Steve went out. I mean, were the lies only just to impress on Scotty that he voted for that he voted to keep Sam after the first week?
Rob, it was such a dumb lie. Last week when Scotty went up on the block, when Swaggy went up on the block, Tyler talked to Scotty and sat him down and said, this is what happened. Scotty was never with you. He was talking crap about you. You need to have a conversation with the bros and come over to this side because like, you need to open the lines of communication. And Tyler convinced Scotty to turn against Swaggy and to go and make a relationship with the bros. The bros didn't have to do anything but listen to Scotty and go, yes, we're good. I like you guys. And instead, the bros came in hard and fast with, hey, Scotty, so just so you know, we didn't vote to evict Steve. That was not us. That was definitely not us. That's why you should trust us because we did not do that. Your side did that. Essentially doing work that had already been done by Tyler, but like insanely worse. And it's probably the reason why Scotty never jumped on board with them because he was like, well, you're lying to me, though. He did question it. He was like, did they vote for Steve? Did they not vote for Steve? But for the most part, he found out, like, they're probably lying to me, or they might be lying to me. Either way, I'm just not sure if I can trust them. They did not need to do it at all. It was so dumb of them to do so. And it is absolutely one of the main reasons why they're going home this week.
Yeah. Allie, it really feels like that the true story probably would have been the most damning, because I feel like that they could have gotten him mad at Caitlin since she was the person that flipped. It seems like that they went so far with this lie and then all these moving parts with Sam that it created more problems.
I also don't know why Sam isn't taking anything out of this either. Like, they're like, I'm gonna tell him I voted for you and I'm gonna lie and say you're lying and you're gonna go along with this, right? Like, mm-hmm. She's like, okay, so it'd be better to say that you voted against me. Like, I don't know why they're not facing any repercussions on that end. Maybe because Sam is, I don't know, sort of in the house, sort of not, even without the robot. But yeah, I don't know. I do think Brett kind of played it okay, at least with what we saw in the episode when he was one-on-one with Scotty after the lie already happened, where he was just like, look, I didn't want Steve to go home. You, me, Steve, Winston, we were boys. And then we get to the next week and he just sort of jumped over it. Like, I actually think that was a decent way to play it. Mm-hmm. But after he already effed up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. To Brett's credit, I think he has almost fully convinced Scotty that they did vote to keep Steve. Scotty just doesn't care. That wasn't really and that's one of the reasons why this sort of fake reason is effective, because they're spending so much energy trying to clear their names with this lie, trying to prove this lie to be true. And even if they do succeed, Scotty's like, yeah, but I'm still going to get rid of them.
Taryn, do you feel like that Scotty is playing up this character in the house? Did you find a different Scotty in the diary room tonight than the one we've been seeing in the house?
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, I feel like, this is Scotty when he feels like he's got a little power in him. When the feeds came back from the HOH competition, he was like, hey, look at that. Cameras are looking at me now. Hey guys, finally getting some camera time, huh? So he was riding a little high, but I feel like this is just amplified Scotty. I don't necessarily think that he's I don't think that he's changed his character. Yes. I'm not going to say that he's not playing a character, but I don't think he's changed it.
Scotty is in a very good mood right now.
This is my version of happiness.
This is a version of happiness. And even the Big Brother announcer got in on the great fortuitous turn for Scotty.
With the head of household back up for grabs,
we are going to a tiebreaker question.
The geek was on fleek.
Allie, the geek was on fleek.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on fleek.
I mean, apparently going on fleek makes you really good at math and makes the other person really bad. I would have figured fleek would make you worse at math.
Yeah, I actually was watching old Big Brother episodes during the live feed the other day, and I was really blown away with how much El Fitvic said everything was on fleek. And I think that he was the last person to say it before the Big Brother announcer.
Well, as we know, Victor, one of the most influential house guests of all time, he even influences the announcer.
The geek was on fleek.
Okay. Taryn, we got to see the meeting that Brett and Winston were going to go have. Winston goes to go grab Brett. I thought that this was a funny exchange between the two of them.
Did you use my body wash?
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. After they worked out the body wash conversation, we were going to see Winston and Brett. So, Taryn, let's get into the Brett side of it.
Okay. The very charismatic mist side of it.
Yes. Talk to me about that, Taryn. Talk to me about the magic of Brett.
Well, we saw this on the feeds, Brett's conversation with Scotty. It was up in the HOH room. It was the last conversation of the night. And I noticed nothing out of the ordinary. It was just Brett just like having a regular conversation. Like this was no better than, you know, anything that we've seen on Big Brother. It's just like a normal campaign kind of conversation. And right afterward, Scotty is just like, oh my God, that was so amazing. That guy's got charisma dripping from his fingernails. This guy's just ridiculous. He's got some, if there's Big Brother Mist, that is some mist right there. Like, first of all, Scotty, if Brett had missed, you wouldn't know that it happened. You wouldn't know that it's there. That was Dan's whole thing in the game. I know that it started because of Dan's charisma, but people started using the term mist because Dan would mist people into not realizing he was misting them because it was such a subtle effect. This idea that Brett has some mist that is working on Scotty that hits him like a sledgehammer to the face is just absurd.
Taryn, are you offended that Dan's mist is being thrown about in context of Brett?
I'm not offended. Actually, like, I like the fact that, like, the Dan's legacy of the mist is still there. I like that they're still talking about obviously, it does not apply to Brett. Brett, again, I've talked about this before. Brett is a bad player. Like, he's, like, maybe halfway decent. It's just sit him next to Winston and he looks great. But otherwise, he's being extremely overestimated. The idea that he's, like, the mastermind behind the level 6 side is absurd. And I guess speaks to Tyler's ability to sort of lie low there.
Allie, what do you think about Brett and his mist in terms of the way that Big Brother presented it?
Yeah, what I was confused about, and that was a good spin, Taryn, to say that at least it's still being talked about. I just don't know what exactly Brett's story was that Scotty found so believable. Like, wow. That Rockstar and Haley turned the whole house on their own alliance and then voted against their own I just don't understand what was even so... Like, take away that he's a good-looking guy, which I think Scotty's obviously, like, blown away by the cool guy factor. What was the underlying story?
Well, it was literally
we got,
just, like,
long dissolves. We weren't really able to piece it together.
They yada-yadded over it.
Yeah, because it was nothing special. And they couldn't even, through editing, make it seem like more than it was. Like, they did their absolute best by, like, dissolving like there was something special about it. But when you paid attention to what he was saying, he was literally just saying, like, regular, like, oh, yeah, and then Rockstar did this, and which was nothing different than anyone else said to Scotty the whole day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Scotty loves Brett so much, and this was him in the nomination ceremony.
The amount of charisma you have is just ridiculous. You're ridiculously charming. Like, I totally get lulled in every single time I talk to you.
Like, dude.
What is lulled in?
Oh, man. Like, try to play it cool.
Scotty's a virgin. He's he has trouble knowing, like, when to rein in the compliments.
Supposedly. I like that you broke that story first, Rob, that maybe he's lying about being a virgin.
Yeah. Well, it was funny that they were talking, oh my God, he's such a genius. I mean, the hyperbole is just out of control on everybody in this house. They're like, I bet he's lying about being a virgin. Like, well, why would he? If he secretly was this genius, like, wouldn't he try to downplay it? And he outside the house, he has all these dates, but then he's trying to project this image of being the nerdy 26-year-old virgin. I don't understand what he's going for.
Yeah. Oh, I remember, like, last week there were some people talking about Tyler, like, oh, Tyler's such a mastermind. And we were like, wow, we can't believe how perceptive they are to have figured that out. But now I'm kind of realizing that, like, no, that's just their immediate go-to. Now Scotty is the mastermind and Brett is this, like, missed Dan level player. Like, they're just all about the hyperbole, Rob.
Yeah. Do you think that, Taryn, is this a response to Paul where that every single person who's doing something under the radar has to be the person who's running everything?
Probably, yeah. I mean, you know,
like,
we saw
murder mystery. Who's really the person running everything in the house?
On season 17, when Steve was like, Vanessa, she's the Derek. I figured it out.
Yes.
I think, you know, they saw what happened with Paul. And so they're like, they're just really scared of there being a Paul. Mm-hmm. And so, they talk about Paul all the time. Like, oh, well, I can't align with pairs because that's what Paul did. And that would be really obvious. There's a lot of Paul ghosts in that house.
Yes. Allie, does it bother you that Paul comes with such a stigma now here?
Just does it bother me? Yes, probably.
Very gumpy.
No, I mean, no, it doesn't. I don't care. I'm very fickle. On to the next one. If anything, it only bothers me because it's like they've only seen the seasons with Paul to cite Paul.
Right. All right. Before we get to the App Store, we also got this great conversation between Fessy and JC. I don't know why they're talking about being left-handed, but we got some interesting stats tonight, Allie. 0.2% of the world's population was not taken away in the on the leftovers, but instead we ended up being left-handed. Is that where he got it from? Did he watch The Leftovers and think it was like, oh, this is about, oh, 0.2% of all the left-handed people? Okay, I get it.
Wasn't The Leftovers 2% and weren't they talking about 0.02%?
Was it?
I think so.
Oh.
Do you think JC is an HBO subscriber?
Maybe he has Rachel math where he has moved the decimal point over.
They have a lot of problems with decimal points.
He doesn't strike me as a big TV drama watcher.
No, you don't think so? It's not.
I don't know. I looked up the stat for anyone who was just like last week or last Thursday. I crunched the numbers on how long Rachel actually thought that challenge went on.
Yes.
25,000 or whatever it was. 10% of the population is left-handed.
Yes.
Ready, nurse, prepared.
Yes.
There you go.
Here's JC talking with Fessy about this.
No, but you have to put it together thinking about the top.
No, he's saying left-handed people is 0.2%. You know how low that is? No, it might be 2%.
I think it's 0.2.
It's not 0.2%. You know what that is? Out of 1,000 people.
No, in America, that is millions of people.
No, but I'm saying 0.2%. That's 2 people out of what, 1,000 people? Yeah.
Listen, 1 million people in America.
360.
There's 1 million people in America.
I wish.
Yeah. But then it's the numbers are it's all over the place. But then at the end of the conversation, they start talking about how many people are on the planet Earth, JC. How many people are on Earth?
160 million people.
You know the population in the world, JC?
600 billion.
600 billion. It's 1 million. 1 million in America. And then 600 billion. He's like Beetlejuice.
I don't think a single one of them got a single math equation correct in that whole conversation.
I should say, last week on the first episode of the Challenge Podcast, I did 15 minus 3 is 13, so I really shouldn't be talking.
That's close.
Is that what the bar is now? Close in simple math?
Yeah.
But this scene was so funny. Did you notice in the beginning when they started the conversation, a helicopter was going by or an airplane was going by?
No, this was so good that they didn't care about the helicopter noise.
Such shit, but they just loved it. And I am thankful for it.
Any other show on television, they stop for a plane, not Big Brother. We're going to use all the plane audio that we have. Okay. I guess while we're talking about the stupid stuff, I was also so excited about the Fessy and Caitlin conversation, Taryn, where they were trying to figure out who had that hinky vote, who was the other vote, and Fessy was talking to Caitlin about who did that, and Caitlin swore on something very important.
Fessy, I swear on I literally swear on all my grandparents' lives.
Grandpa Lou sighting!
I literally burst out laughing, and I was not prepared for the cutaway.
Yeah. Allie, are you supposed to swear on the lives of dead relatives? I feel like that is, I feel like that's icky.
Well, she considered swearing on her own life. I swear on my, all the lives of my grandparents. Yeah. Let's not get crazy.
I literally swear on all my grandparents' lives.
Now, is she swearing on the life of the bird that has Grandpa Lou's soul, Allie?
I hope not. That bird's going to drop dead tomorrow.
That's
the thing.
She wasn't the nominee. She wasn't the vote for what was she swearing on? Because wasn't she the HOH? So she didn't even have a vote.
Well, the conversation was so dumb because the question was, who do you think voted this way? Caitlin had no idea. I still don't understand why Fessy thought she knew, but he thought that she was lying to him because he thought that she knew that Scotty was the person that flipped. And then when she didn't say that, then they had this big thing. It was an extremely dumb conversation.
Okay.
The way that Fessy acted during this, I'm sorry. I am afraid that he is educating children, even substitute educating is too much from the way that he acted in this conversation.
Okay, let's talk about the App Store. Allie, do you like the Big Brother App Store?
Okay, I've been really looking for, I'm just like bringing my notes out now because I've been waiting to talk to you guys about this. Does it matter? Do I like the app store? Sure. Does it matter though that the person who gets the crap app is known automatically to everyone?
You know, I was thinking about this. Yeah, you can't lie about the crap app because you get the punishment. I think there's a unsaid benefit of getting the crap app where I feel like that the perception of Haley in the house has to totally change after this, because it's like if you're talking about Haley, it's like, oh, she sucks. She's irrelevant. She's not trending. Like, because I think it also sort of like blows up. Like if Haley like had all these plans, it's like, well, I guess we can rule out that Haley is the mastermind running everything because she's not even on the show.
Exactly.
That's my favorite part of the App Store twist, is that they have no idea how it works. Like the fact that they apologize, like, I'm sorry you hate me, so they think you're a hated person. I think if they actually understood that it meant you're just irrelevant, you're not good or bad enough to for anyone to be talking about, it'd be fine. But the fact that they associate it with a hated person in America, I don't think it's panned out this way, but you might think, like, if they're thinking so much about what America thinks, maybe I don't want to work with Haley because America hates her so much. She got the crap app.
Yeah. Taryn, where are the house guests right now in terms of what they think the crap app means?
I mean, they think it means that they're irrelevant, that they're boring, that people don't like them. You know, and you're right that it means, like, obviously nobody now is going to think, well, Haley's the Paul, because obviously Paul would never get the crap app. So it is definitely a good thing. But I think there are a couple of things that have made this work out the way that it has. One is that it was limited to 3 weeks. So in the first couple of weeks, it's hard to really get a sense of, like, you know, who the underdogs are and everything. So you did kind of vote for the person that was playing the hardest, or you know, you got Sam, who was the underdog, but then you got Tyler, who's playing hard, and then you got Bailey, who was an underdog. So for the most part, it was a little bit less lopsided than it might normally be. And then another thing that made it work is that by the time they get the crap app, they feel like you already know what's been happening. So, like, they feel like, you know, Scotty is like, well, I'm HOH, I need it. And the bros are like, well, Scotty won HOH, so we're in trouble. But obviously, most of the voters are voting with only Thursday's knowledge. So they don't really know. So they're essentially left guessing, like, and just they have to just, like, do as much as they can to be as visible as possible. And it seems very random to them, like, who ends up getting it.
Allie, which is more scientific, the Big Brother App Store or the Truth Booth on Are You the One?
The conversation between JC and Fessy was more scientific than either of those options, for sure.
Okay, let's talk about the Power App, which went to Bailey. Allie, did you see a Power App for Bailey coming when we were going into when this was going to be announced?
I didn't. I know you guys talked about this with Kevin. I did not think Bailey was going to get it, but Swaggy must be pissed.
What did Kevin say? Rockstar?
I thought he took JC. I don't know where that shook out.
Okay.
I just think that, like, sure, Swaggy's got to be happy because the love of his life over 600 hours has the app. But, like, that means, like, America had to really like him, too. And he missed it by, like, this much.
He was right there. He was right there, Taryn. He could have had a power app.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently Bailey came in second in the previous week. So, you know, even then, Bailey was ahead of Swaggy. But yeah, I think we kind of expected, especially with Swaggy going home, that Bailey would probably get this one, just because, like, America will never continue to load on advantages to the person who is, like, way out in front.
Mm-hmm. I will also say that I think that the internet vote, and I know we fall into this trap sometimes, Taryn, in terms of how much say does the internet have versus how much say does the casual audience have. But I do get the sense that this week, I feel like that the internet vote really turned out. I think that the internet voters very quickly learned how to game the system, where that I think that maybe the casual audience might have been answering all of followed the question sincerely, whereas the internet audience might have gotten a little bit more savvy to, oh, I will just answer the person I want to win for every single question. On top of that, I also saw a lot of alumni from Big Brother also tweeting out support for Bailey, as in Janelle. I also saw Jess from BB19 also tweeting out support for Bailey as well. So plus they had that checkbox of make my vote count 10 times, which that I'm not sure everybody was doing that, but it seems like that the internet voters got their act together this time.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because even watching this episode, Bailey just kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, it was strange to me thinking from a casual viewer perspective, like, wait, why is Bailey the most trending? I don't think I've seen her on this episode at all yet. And she only had, I think, a total of like 4 diary room sessions the entire previous week. So she really wasn't on the show very much. So I really do think that the internet contingent had a large amount to do with this. And apparently Winston came in second place for votes. And I think that was entirely the casual fan base.
Why? I don't understand. Why him out of anybody, Allie? It doesn't make any sense.
So I was thinking this during the episode, like I don't vote. I vote, but I don't vote for this.
Right.
I can't imagine anyone like putting in, I have written down in my notes, I can't imagine anyone putting in Brett, Winston, or even Haley as an answer to anything. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what the question would be, I can't imagine somebody racking their brain being like, you know what, Winston. Even if you're making your vote count 10 times and you want to be strategic, I have no understanding of how that.
I think one of the questions is who's the most annoying?
Even then, even then, is Winston the most annoying? Based on the show, like,
yeah.
I mean, the handlebar mustache isn't helping Brett or anyone, but. Yeah.
Sorry. So Haley got the crap app this week, and I thought that this was a funny response to Haley getting the crap app.
Least trending? I'm cool. I'm hip.
I like that because that's exactly the response that I would give with the charge that I was not trending or unpopular for any reason. And I like that she's 21 and gives the same exact answer that it's Karen, is she secretly lying about her age? I don't see that 21. Hey, I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm with it.
Yeah, well, you know, she and Steve got together early on. People don't know this, but they discussed how they were actually 9 years older than they claimed.
Summer Steve 2018.
They bonded over it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just happy because having a 21-year-old say the thing that you were going to say makes you feel cool and hip.
Yeah, I'm hip. I'm with it. Summer of Rob 2018. All right, so she picks Read It as her punishment. Allie, and I think first off, I think Haley also seems confused as to what an audiobook is.
Read it. Maybe I'll get some music from that, like an audiobook.
Which, right? That's an audiobook's not music.
She also doesn't understand what a crab app is. Like, maybe I'll get something that I would enjoy, like the HOH would get.
Yeah. So she is being forced to read the entire work of Hamlet. Now, Taryn, this was very lucky that Fessy did not pick the read it punishment. Otherwise, he would have had to have read Vegan Hamlet.
Yeah.
Dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Definitely would have been unfortunate. And, you know, I don't know how well he'd do at reading either. So,
yes. Allie, since you are channeling Stephen Fishback tonight, do you think that we could get the real Stephen Fishback to watch the show when we tell him that they will be reading passages from Hamlet this week?
I genuinely thought you were going to say, Allie, since you don't eat ham, which I don't, but anyway, I thought I was being profiled. sorry. Yeah, no, I think that Stephen would enjoy this punishment, which is why he was not cast on Big Brother.
Yeah. The other survivors got punished when Steven read poems. So maybe they're like, oh, yeah, they hated it when Steven did that on Survivor Game Changers.
Or
Survivor.
Can we rank these two from worst to worst?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Yeah, like you're already referencing the ham. I don't know what pork fan was like having a moment with these apps, but
pork.
I think the ham, vegan or pork has to be the worst.
Certainly. Not even close. The other two were barely like
Rachel enjoyed hers 100%. Right. Like, she was having fun.
Well, are you guys ham likers? Like, what, from a ham eater's perspective, would that be a delight?
I mean, I like ham. Ham is delicious, but I think that being forced to eat more ham than you want to does not sound fun. You know, I think it reaches a point of diminishing returns on ham enjoyment.
Yeah, like Emmett was the milkman, and when they forced him to drink milk, he was not enjoying it.
Taryn loves yogurt, Allie, but yeah. He was forced to consume plain yogurt hour after hour.
What a callback. Wow. I'm very impressed. I'm out of my league here. I always am out of my league, but tonight especially.
Because then that guy yelling at Rachel, that has to be two. But I've actually heard, Allie, that some people actually enjoy reading Hamlet and even go and watch other people perform it. So it doesn't really seem like that's a punishment.
Who would do that?
It's just an activity.
I don't think it's so. Yeah. So I was like, okay, this is fine. You have to like get up and read in a weird outfit. But the fact that you have to do it long enough to get the like through the whole book, and you have to stand up and forcibly read it out loud. It's not like, oh yeah, go chill and read and enjoy yourself. Or, you know, it's just like you have to stand up there for a long ass time to do that. Whereas the guy yelling at you, I mean, I'm from Jersey. People yell at me every day.
That's like a whole star.
That's like a letter from home. That would be in my HOH basket.
Yeah. How long does she have to read the book for at one time?
I don't know. The feed's cut for this punishment.
But
so
are they off for a long time?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to how long they were down for the punishment.
Yeah. Wait, did that feed's cut for every punishment? Or are they like, we'll have you feeds up while people are sleeping, but reading Hamlet is too boring to have the feeds up for?
Basically. they kept them up for Fessy eating the ham, but they had them down for the screamer and for the Hamlet. Oh, somebody did see them doing it today. So I guess they cut it for the first time, but maybe they'll let them watch, you know, further times.
Some people are upset. I've seen this in the chat and on Twitter that Hamlet is not a book, Allie.
Okay.
do you have any response to that?
No. I mean, okay. I mean, read it. You can read it, though. Did they say it was a book? Are they complaining that we're calling it a book, or they're saying it shouldn't qualify under the read it crap app?
I don't know. I just think it's such a reflection on Big Brother that this week the house guests got punished and they had to read a book.
I'm more sympathetic to having to stand up and read Shakespeare out loud. Call me crazy, but I don't do that day to day.
Okay, let's see, where are we? Nominations. Actually, before we get to the nominations, Taryn, we saw Sam telling, was it KC, about the power? Why all of a sudden is Sam telling more and more people about her power?
She just trusts KC, and then now that the sort of clock is ticking on whether or not she should use it, she feels a little more comfortable talking about it. Tyler is trusts KC a lot, so I'm sure Tyler kind of pushed her in that direction as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Allie, as we inched closer to the nominations, Winston was starting to freak out, but Brett said, "Hey, bro, there's something I didn't tell you. I hacked Scotty's brain. Don't worry, we're good." What do you think of brain hacking?
Stay calm, stay focused, and we'll sell it. I forget what he's something like that. Some douchey line like that. I can't. Can you remind me, because I was thinking about this all episode, what's Winston's occupation?
He's in medical sales. Yes.
Oh, right. So they're both like closet nerds pretending to be cool. That's like both of theirs. Have they confessed this to each other?
Right. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I think that he is Winston lying about his occupation, Taryn. I think they think he's a doctor, yeah, but he's really in medical sales. Taryn, do you expect Winston's medical sales business book to expand or contract after Big Brother?
Contract, I guess.
You would not be buying more medical equipment from him.
No, not particularly. But to answer the question, Brett has not told Winston, as far as I'm aware, the true nature of his job.
Can you imagine that conversation where he's like, bro, I'm actually really smart. He's like, bro,
whoa.
I'm also like really smart. Oh, whoa. My God. I can't wait for that.
Hashtag bros for life.
Yeah. All right. So very, very unfortunately, the bros are going on the block. Allie, you know, we haven't really talked about them as a pair. Are you enjoying the bros or are you ready for a bro to go?
Bro, I know. I don't know. Like, is this and because I don't watch the feeds, I like read the tweets. Is this like this is like really the first two packages we've gotten of their full bromance on the episode? No.
Yeah, it hasn't really been explored. I mean, other than them wearing like douchey outfits together to the live shows. And there was actually in one of the early episodes, it might have been the first Thursday episode or the first Sunday episode. Like Rachel was talking about like life in the Big Brother house is pretty awesome. I hang out with the bros. And Brett was making like dinosaur noises. She's like, life here, it's pretty sweet.
I see. The thing with them this episode is the fact that they hit us over the head with them so hard in the episode they both go up. Like, even with live feeds, I felt like this was a spoiler. Like, I don't find the feeds to be spoilers.
The edgic tipped you off to who was going on the block.
I don't love them. I think if you're going to grow a handlebar mustache, like, let it grow in before you shape it. That's just me. Mm-hmm. But my actual bro who's gotten into the show this season says they're his second and third favorite bros. So
of
I guess
all
it's
time?
Well, JC's number one.
Yes.
And then quick 1-2 with Brett and Winston.
Yeah.
How's that for casual?
That's pretty good. Taryn, this was Winston in the diary room talking about how the bros are going to go after the veto this week.
Bros gotta win the veto. Simple as that. Bros gotta win the veto.
What's that new voice for Winston?
Bros gotta win the veto. I think Scotty hacked his brain. I think that he contracted some kind of virus.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Okay. All right. What do you say? You want to take some questions here, and then we'll talk about some updates from the live feeds. And then also stay tuned, because Allie is going to give us an update on what's going on with all of the Big Brother 18 house guests who are the challenge final reckoning. Why is it the final reckoning? Were there other reckonings?
So they decided that Brian and I go really far in depth on our first podcast about this, but basically there are three of the last seasons, which were completely unrelated. They decided were actually a three-part trilogy. So this is the final.
Why? I don't understand why it was a trilogy.
So somebody proposed to me that it's because they were like filmed so closely together so that the people involved do feel like it's more of a trilogy. It's pretty much all the same people. But no, I mean, I think they were just like, you know, it'd be great is if these three followed each other. So like, let's make the last season and pretend like this was all planned the whole time.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and start to take some questions from you guys. This is Mr. Robot Taryn. Good job, Mr. Robot Taryn, getting a question into this show. Which house guest did Allie make a photocopy of? Okay. Allie, did you... much like back in the day, like you did with Paul, also in BB18.
I love the idea that I'm taking a house guest, putting them in a Xerox and photocopying them. I like really wish that were true.
Mr. Robot Taryn does not really understand technology.
I think Mr. Robot Taryn will like this. I threw up a photo of Sam the Robot, the most dynamic house guest this season.
Yeah, she was. I feel like she's really fallen off, Taryn, for being dynamic.
Yeah, she's really
a robot.
Give me some aluminum.
I really feel like part of it is the fact that she was a robot too. I feel like that kind of influenced how she interacts with people in the house now. Like she didn't have a chance to bond with anyone at the start. So now she feels like this sort of Zen outsider where she's looking in from outside and it's very strange.
Okay. Eric has a question. Could the unused power and crap apps come back into play later on in the season? Taryn, you think that we're going to see these apps again later on?
It's possible. I mean, I definitely think they're going to do more twists later on in the season, which I'm not going to be happy about, but I know it's going to happen. So I imagine that, you know, they have unused ideas. They might bring them back.
Allie, you think we're going to see them again?
I just love the idea that Taryn phrases it like they're going to do more to us. I mean, look, if Survivor could bring back Unchosen Puzzles, they could do anything. I have a feeling they're going to want to bring him back. I feel like they don't want to introduce too many powers in at one time. So the App Store can open at any time, I'm sure.
Okay. Allie, have you noticed this? Kristen says, now that Scotty has become HOH, his use of air quotes has increased considerably. Have you noticed this?
I didn't notice it with Scotty. I noticed it with Sam as she was signaling everything she said. This is this. I noticed it with Sam that she was doing BB sign language, but not Scotty as much.
Okay. Taryn, have you seen this on the feeds?
I guess so. I definitely, it's something that I think it's just because there are so many lies that people know are lies. So that it's just become a thing to just be like, well, this thing happened, as we all know. I don't think anybody's using them particularly well, though.
Okay.
The geek was on fleek.
All right. This is from E. How can Bailey get away clean with using her power? Also, can we please see John Krause on to discuss the psychological part of the Caitlin and Tyler relationship? Is that the Caitlin relationship you want to see John Krause discuss? Okay. All right. Two-part
Caitlin's
question here.
With anyone.
Taryn, how do you expect that the Bailey power is going to go? Okay. So the HOH turns their key and it's like, wait a second. Those weren't my nominations.
I think that they're going to be informed ahead of time, but again, this came from Bailey, so I don't really know exactly how much she just kind of made up and how much she's assuming and how much she was actually told because she asked questions. So I don't really know exactly what the details are supposed to be, but what she said was that they would be informed ahead of time and then they had to pretend that they were actually their nominations.
Yeah. Allie, we spent so little time on Caitlin tonight. I'd love to just get your quick analysis on Caitlin after 2.5 weeks of watching her.
I was so afraid you were going to ask you this. I was really relieved she wasn't in the episode much. I feel like this is when I was talking about Ken on Survivor. I might be first to the party, but I guarantee I won't be the last one here. I do not like Caitlin.
Yes.
I'm sorry to say.
Okay, well, you're not alone in that. What are the grounds in which you would dislike Caitlin?
Because I feel like she's so not self-aware. Like, I know it's hard to criticize someone on paper for not being self-aware.
Wait, Caitlin's not self-aware?
I have to say, it's to the point where it's no longer funny to me. Like, because she, like, when she swipes in today and it's just like, really, America?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not here for
what
this.
What more do you need from me? I backdoored Swaggy, which was the biggest move that anyone's ever made on the show.
I don't know. So I just, like, she doesn't do it for me. I get it.
Badass bitch.
She's got some good quotes. Like, I enjoy her more when I listen to this podcast and you play the sound drops than I do when she's on the show. So if you could maybe coach her, you could be her life coach. Maybe I'd be more interested.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. This is from Teton Jones. Do you think that production decided to close the App Store prematurely because of all the existing powers are still in play? Taryn, that would seem very unlike CBS reality to say, hey, let's scale it back. Let's walk it back. Too many objects are in play right now.
Yeah,
confusing.
Yeah, they did something right, which is they ended it after 3 weeks. And I'm definitely not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that they did it right, a right thing for the right reasons. I assume they had their own reasons. They definitely are not the kind of people that seem to be like, oh, well, we don't want to impact the game balance. We don't want too many powers in play. I'm sure they would love to have 5 different powers still in play. They just probably had some other reason why they stopped it here.
Do you have a thought on this? Why they stopped the App Store now?
Yeah, I'll give some credit. I think they knew that these powers would all still be in play. Like, I think besides Sam's, it'd be unlikely that somebody would use it, and they all last for multiple weeks. That said, like, I just think from a television perspective, like, it's hard to keep track of all of these powers, and I do think that they, like, can make decent television. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that they were like, oh, shit, none of these have been used, we'll stop it. But I do think they know, like, all right, we have multiple apps for multiple weeks. That's why I think they will come back into play, because I don't think they designed them to just die. Like, I think they want to use everything they have in their arsenal.
Okay. And John Densford wants to know, who from this cast will be on the challenge in 2 years, Allie?
2 years? Try 2 minutes. The challenge does like five seasons a year. There's plenty of time for these people to go on.
Yes.
I miss the days where I'd be like, no one, or the questions were theoretical, like, who from Big Brother would be great on the challenge? But now we're living in a different world, so I have my little cast list here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who would be good? Steve. Would love to see Steve on the challenge. So basically the
Summer
challenge...
Steve 2018.
Tell me you wouldn't tune in, though.
Yeah. You guys have a bath here? Well, hey, there's a lot of hanky panky going on in here. Where's the stash room?
I think both bros could write a ticket. So basically what you're looking for the challenge is someone hot, most likely single or willing to become single while still on the show and not in communication with their significant other.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I feel like that for the age-old question on this show was, are you single and ready to mingle? But now it's just, are you ready to mingle? I think we could just, you don't even need to be single anymore on this show.
So Caitlin might be a number one contender in that respect.
Yeah.
So yeah, the bros, Caitlin. I'd like to see JC. I don't know if the challenge would do it.
They should.
Fessy. Rachel, were they casting for the challenge this season? That is the question. It's easier to answer who won't be on the challenge in 2 years.
Yeah.
The winner of the season.
Does it go by, is it only even numbered seasons? Do they skip the odd numbered seasons? Or do Big Brother 19 people have to go through the challenge first, Allie?
Are you asking me what season of Big Brother the people who have infiltrated the MTV show that I cover are on? Because I couldn't even tell you which season.
No,
of the
I'm
challenge.
Talking about the Big Brother people, because it seems like nobody from Big Brother 19 has made the leap yet.
In due time.
From 19, though,
like, all in due time.
Like Matt Klein's, like.
Yes, Taryn. I think that would be great.
I could see. Well, who's Ronnie from the Jersey Shore? Mark.
You little punk.
Yeah. Okay, let's start to move our way into some of the spoilers from the weekend, and then we'll come back and talk about what's going on with everything from the challenge a little bit as well. Whet your appetite for what's going on there, because I think there's a lot of people who are casual, what's going on? Should I watch that? So we'll talk about that a little bit. But first, let's touch on what's going on with the spoilers. If you're going to bounce out now. Come back Monday, Summer of Stein. We'll go into everything with that. And then we'll be back again on Wednesday night after the 9 p.m. Eastern episode. Okay, so let's do our spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right.
I always get yelled at for not dancing on this show, and it's very stressful.
Yeah, I would hardly call what I do dancing. It's awkward just to sit here in silence, so I'm trying to move. Okay.
Also, can I ask you, is it possible to throw that picture of Eric Stein back up for Summer of Stein? I'm never getting invited back, so I might as well just blow it all now.
Let's see, Scott, can we go to that? Okay.
What is that backdrop? Is that just like... A like satin bag behind.
Yeah, so that was going back to Reality Game Masters, and that was the art direction of Alex Forstenhausler.
No offense to my host here, but it's like, what is that? Okay.
Yes, it's like taffeta.
Oh, very nice.
It's like wrinkled,
it's better than my background.
Wrinkled taffeta. You know, it's actually funny. I was watching one of these old Big Brother seasons, and it's like the diary room from like Big Brother 6 is like exactly the same thing. So we were just like that was 5 years ago. We were 5 years behind. So we're catching up. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the latest at this hour, Taryn. We had a veto competition this weekend, and who is the holder of the veto?
Scotty himself has won the veto.
The geek was on fleek.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yes, Scotty has the veto. He does not plan on using it. He wants to send one of these bros home. He has expressed previously that he wants Brett to go home because he's so charismatic. But he has been saying, whatever you guys want to do, I'm not going to push one way or another. If you want Winston out, you can send Winston out. If you want Brett out, you can send Brett out. So I'm good either way.
Allie, do you have a horse in the race? Would you prefer to see Winston or Brett go home?
I think Brett is the better. I can't believe that I'm saying Brett's probably the more strategic threat, but based on this episode alone, I think Scotty does have the right instinct, but I mean, 6-1, half a dozen of another. Mm-hmm. That's
so
what that
charismatic
phrase means.
Wonderful. Tara, could you just set up the sides? Who wants whom out?
So the main pusher here is that Rockstar really wants Brett gone. Her and Haley have been campaigning to make sure that Brett leaves. JC,
why?
Also,
what's the main is it that they are threatened by him?
It's because he's the mastermind, Rob. Mm-hmm. Haley is mad at Brett because she felt like she had a good connection with Brett, and then she found out that Brett was lying about the Steve vote and pinning the Steve vote on her and Rockstar. And so she felt really betrayed by that, so she wants Brett to go. Rockstar just feels like Winston is not a threat to anybody because he's such a lunatic, and that Brett is a much bigger threat and much more dangerous, so she really wants Brett to go.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about now, as we go towards the replacement nomination possibilities, Taryn, is there any reason to believe that something could change in the next 24 hours?
Not particularly. Scotty tried hard to win this veto so that he could keep the nominations the same. Sam made him pinky promise that if the veto was used, he would nominate Sam as the replacement. And he did not want to do that. And I don't think he would have done that. But the bottom line, veto is not going to get used. The bros will remain on the block.
How about Brett and Winston? Have they become, you know, they're on the block together? Has that bonded them closer together, or has there been a crack as the one of them tries to campaign?
They've had like little tiffs here and there, but very, very minor. They're still working in tandem at the moment, trying to figure something out. And they've mentioned multiple times that they don't want to campaign against each other. They've started to do a little bit of work, but nothing's popped off quite yet. But I expect it might soon.
No way.
Hashtag bros for life.
Yeah. Taryn, we've seen Brett is cool under fire. Winston is the hothead. Do you expect Winston to become even more agitated as the week goes on?
Actually, no, I think he was most agitated immediately following the nominations. He basically like went up and threatened Scotty. He said to Brett privately that he wanted to strangle him and throw him against a wall. And since then he has been less agitated. Although again, that's, you know, with Winston, everything has to be, you have to understand that it's like a special qualification. Winston being less agitated is still like crazy face Winston. So. So you have to take that into consideration.
Okay. All right. And then where do we stand with Sam potentially using the bonus life? Is there any percent chance that she would use it on one of the guys this week?
I do think there is a chance. It's very weird because Tyler and Casey, who I think would have a lot of influence on whether or not Sam used the power, have kind of gone back and forth. They kind of feel like they don't want the power used, especially if it's on Winston. But they've also thought like maybe it should be used. Tyler seems to be leaning more toward maybe it shouldn't be used because he'd rather have it next week in case he's in trouble. But Casey kind of feels like maybe they should protect Brett. And they've kind of gone back and forth. But even as we were talking, Sam had a conversation with Brett. She sat him down, and it seemed like an interview process for should I use the power on you?
Yeah.
She was like, can I trust you? You have to be honest with me. Do you have a power? Does Caitlin have a power? You know, would you be loyal to me? Would you work with me? Would you not send me home? And Brett seemed to be passing the interview with flying colors because he's so charismatic. And so I think Sam does like Brett. So it seems like Sam might be shifting in favor of wanting to use the power to save Brett if he goes home. I know that she feels like she would rather use it on somebody she likes than be forced to use it on somebody she might not like. So that's definitely a possibility as we move forward, but nothing is set in stone at all right now.
Can I ask a question about the power? Sorry to interrupt again. I know I shouldn't be here. Can Sam say next week, like, if she didn't tell so many people, could she say, like, I'm choosing to use this on you, even though she'd be forced to use it?
I think she probably could have, but she's told a couple different people now that it would be that she'd be forced to use it. So she could make the lie happen, but people would be able to out her, and she's all about honesty. So I don't think that she would ever do that, Allie.
What about the other women in the house that we saw tonight where Sam was telling Casey about the power app? Would Casey push her to use the power app to save somebody from level 6, Taryn?
I think it's kind of up in the air right now. They're undecided about what they want to do. I think yesterday Casey was talking about maybe they should use it. I think that we'll keep numbers on our side. We'll have a better chance of winning the HOH the following week. But then today she was talking about how actually, I don't know, if Winston leaves, I don't think we should use it. So she's kind of gone back and forth. Like I said, I feel like this is still a bit up in the air at the moment. And we're not going to really know where everyone lies until a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Taryn, anything else that we should keep an eye out for before your next update tomorrow morning?
The women, particularly Rockstar and Haley, are trying to gather up the rest of the women in a sort of women's alliance, you might call it, because the first three evictees are looking like they're all going to be men. And so it's like, hey, why don't we just band together? So they're trying to get something started with that. Obviously, there are a couple of problems with this. One is that all three of the women in level 6 are more loyal to level 6 than they ever would be to those other women. Mm-hmm. Caitlin is a huge liability. She's mad at Tyler right now because he hasn't given her enough attention. But the second he starts to give her enough attention, I'm sure she is going to be talking about this nonstop. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this is really going to go anywhere.
Did they do that yet, or they're talking about doing that? Because I'm rooting for it to happen because I think it's going to make the house explode.
They have talked about it with Caitlin. They haven't like come together and been like, all right, guys, we're all in. But mm-hmm. they've been talking about it with people that could already out it before it even starts.
Allie, what do you think? Does this have a shot to work?
I think I can't imagine. How many days is it now? 20 or 30, late 20s days? How many days is it?
22.
This is 24? Critically important. Okay. 24 days in, I can't imagine after 15 minutes of meeting Caitlin, imagining that she would go for a women's alliance. After 23 days in the house, Rockstar is going to get what she deserves by talking, running that by Caitlin for sure.
Frank in the chat just pointed out that I called Caitlin a liability. I'm sorry, guys. She's going to be coming for me.
Yeah,
she's already a cannonball, actually.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, of course, more on that to come on Taryn's next live feed update coming up tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And of course, don't forget the LFC roundtable coming up on Tuesday night. All right, Allie, so let's just touch on what's going on with the MTV Challenge Final Reckoning, which I actually did watch the premiere earlier this week. Now, can you just explain what this is? Because I do think that there is a portion of our audience who may not be aware of this, that the MTV Challenge, which started off as the Real World Road Rules Challenge, has now started to, it's become like an infinity war of that there are people from all these other shows that are neither MTV's Real World or the now defunct Road Rules.
So actually, both of those shows have pretty much been defunct. Like, Real World is part of what MTV is.
Is that what's going on? Because those shows are not in production, that we need to, you know, have other people, like, have, what would be the right word? That they're sort of like immigrating to the challenge?
Yeah, they need more feeder shows, right? Because. Because the Real World's been gone for a long time. I mean, not the Real World, Road Rules. Real World has been on life support. It never officially got canceled, but it hadn't been on. And
it's
maybe
on Yadis.
It's on Yadis. Perfect. So MTV is now selling a lot of their old shows, including the Real World. So who knows if whoever buys that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there if they'll ever come on. But MTV has introduced a number of successful shows that are probably more successful than the Real World and probably cheaper to make. Mm-hmm. And they've also had great success on the challenge, where they've done seasons like Fresh Meat, where they just cast people directly for the challenge and put them on as first timers on the challenge. A lot of people like DM, Camilla, a lot of people who are very well known were all Fresh Meat. Kara, I think, was the person who was jumping on Pauly, I think, was Fresh Meat. Anyway, So Are You the One, which we also cover over on the Drunk Anna podcast, the MTV Network, whatever it is, the wrap up. Mm-hmm. MTV also stole a show from the UK called X on the Beach, right, which Pauly was on this past season. A number of folks from the UK version and the US version are on this season.
And are there people from Jordy Shore?
Yes, there is one fine fellow from Jordy Shore.
Yes, which is the British version of Jersey Shore, right?
Yes, which, fun fact, I wrote a blog post for my college online newspaper about Jordy Shore. So if anyone wants to check that out, it is still available and very stale.
Yes.
But anyway, basically what's great about it is you don't really need anyone from any show, right? All of these people have drama. They're all about the same kind of thing, drinking.
It's like some sort of Justice League of the craziest people from reality TV that have been brought together, and then they put them in a house, and there's like some kind of game, but the rules are nebulous.
So, right. So there is actually what people love about the challenge. Like, a lot of sports fans love the challenge because it really is athletic. These people are no joke, and it's like all of the challenges can be really brutal. But the setup changes season to season because they don't have really a rotating cast. I mean, some people won't be on every week, but for the most part, the same people, it's a reoccurring cast. So they mess up the formula, basically. They'll either do large teams, or they'll do pairs, or they'll do individual, or they'll start with pairs and they'll go to individual, they'll start individual, and they'll bring in, you know, they did one where they brought in all newbies, and it's like, okay, we're going to be our rookie season, and we won't have the big dogs who have been here for 25 years to compete with. And then boom, they brought in the big dogs to come compete. So everything's constantly shifting. Last season, they lied about the prize money. It was actually $1 million. Unclear if that really paid off. But they're always trying something new. So God love MTV.
Yeah. Taryn, do you ever follow any of this?
Not particularly. I started to watch the previous season with Natalie and Victor, but it fell off a bit.
So this season we have four people that are from Big Brother 18 in Natalie and Jose and Davon and our favorite Pauly Calafiore.
I don't deal with drama.
Yeah. Well, same. He does on the challenge.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're a Big Brother watcher, I don't think it's a direct. I mean, Taryn's a good example of that. Like, I don't think it's a direct overlay. In the Venn diagram, it's like there's probably a sizable room in the middle, but it's not just like a direct fit. If you like the episodes of Big Brother where they get like one bottle of wine and fight about who drank it, like, you might like the challenge because there's definitely like a reasonable amount of shenanigans going on with the strategy, with the competition, and with them being cooped up in a house. Like, there are similarities, but it's definitely for not like a younger audience, but maybe like a younger minded audience who doesn't mind combing through the garbage.
Yes. How was Pauly Calafiore on his first run on the challenge?
Bread for this.
So he was on, you mean on X on the Beach or the first episode?
So this is his first run on the challenge.
So Natalie's been doing a lot of like, this is my third show. It's like her second season of the challenge, mm-hmm. including Big Brother. So she's been on three shows. So this will be Polly's third show, but first season of the challenge.
Yes. And so, okay. And then were Davon and Joe, so then this is Davon's first. Was Jose on the challenge?
So Jose was on what Brian Cohen has dubbed Pros versus Joes, which started Jose. As like, God, don't start us with that. So that's a spinoff show where they first had professional athletes versus people from the show. The champs versus, I don't know, challenger, whatever. I like, people have been getting mad at me because I very famously dismissed that as a show, but apparently it's a good show.
Yes.
And Jose was on Champs versus Stars, which included such stars as Jose, Drake Bell. I mean, it had a full, I believe Riff Raff was on it. It was just like
a Riff Raff
of A-list people.
Yes. There was a moment the other night on the show where Pauly Calafiore was trying to be tempted by, was it Cara Maria? Do I have that right?
You have that correct.
Yes. And she said, hey, you should get with me and make my boyfriend jealous. And of course, we all know he has a girlfriend at home and that he takes these relationships seriously.
There's a lot of steak and burgers right in front of me, but I got filet mignon waiting for me back at home.
He loves steak.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's also great about the challenge, right? Is like you see Jess and Cody, right? And you see them fall in love and you can see them come back. You can see them on The Amazing Race. But the challenge follows the drama season to season. So when you say Cara Maria's boyfriend, it was actually just her hookup from last season who came back. And in case you were still wondering what's going on, you get the full story. So yeah. All of these people have years and years of baggage with them they bring. And yeah, Pauly at first was able to say no to temptation, but Us Weekly said otherwise.
Yes. Taryn, so I just want to bring you in on some of the strategy going on in the challenge Final Reckoning that Karamia, is that right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would like you to keep calling her Karamia.
So she had a strategy for moving ahead with Pauly Calafiore. She said that she thinks that he can get through this game if they are able to do some politicking.
Politicking. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
That sounds like something I can get behind.
Was I brought on this podcast just to be roasted? This has happened to me before. Is this what's happening?
Is this right a roast? If I'm incorrect, tell me.
Let's talk about the strategy of the challenge.
Yes.
I mean, you're not wrong, Rob. You're not making it up. But it's not making our show look that great.
I apologize for for inferring that the challenge comes down to politicking.
To be fair, I feel like that's just that they have better words for things because I don't feel like that sounds that different than what Caitlin's been doing this season.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
Right? That was her plan to him?
Yeah, Cara does not look good in this episode, and she shouldn't. She's not great. So, yeah, she was sort of like, get with me, and I'll take you far, even though she has one of the worst partners this season. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay. All right.
Do you want to watch now, Taryn? Is this...
I mean, when like the cream of the crop from Big Brother heads over to the challenge, it really really incentivizes me to go check out Jose and Pauly Calafiore.
When you're a born bred competitor, champion, a game, you put your passion behind that. Now it's full on beast mode.
This is rude.
I love it.
I thought you were better than this, Rob.
What am I doing to offend you?
No, I'm not. I will say, let me plug Natalie because I was pissed that any Big Brother people were coming on the show. But Natalie really, and I said this to Taryn before we got on, Natalie is now just like fully integrated. That's what another thing Big Brother fans may not like love is once you do three episodes of the challenge, like these people are not trying to remain differentiated. They're trying to now be challenge people. I mean, it's very strange to hear the normal Big Brother podcast without me discuss the challenge like you guys have been doing a little bit. But you're right. Nobody who's on MTV is ever going to end up back on Big Brother. So they don't want to be othered by somehow there still is this like veteran group who were OG challenge people. And the dream for the Are You the One people, the Big Brother people, the Jordy Shore person is to integrate into that family. Right. And Natalie has done that very well. It's like, I forget already that she was on Big Brother and she was bred for the challenge. She's very good.
Yeah. So these people, they migrate from these other shows with the hopes of making a new, better life in MTV reality. Some of them integrate into that world and other ones just are, you know, left for dead. One show and then that's it.
Sure.
Sad story. By the way, just going back to, since I have all my Big Brother 18 sounds open.
Palm Speech was on fleek.
Yeah, Victor, he knew. Okay. All right. What night of the week does the challenge air? Tuesdays?
Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time on MTV.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and check that out. And then we'll see if this Big Brother casting is a hit. If more and more people make the leap.
You going to keep watching?
You know, I was disappointed. You know, I'm talking so much about Pauly Calafiore, but I'm actually a Jose stan. And I was very disappointed with the surprising small amount of Jose I received on watching the first episode of Final Reckoning.
You should really play the spoiler drop again for those diehard challenge fans who are only tuning in for this segment.
Yes, but all right. Can we give challenge spoilers real quick? All right, here. Let me give you just a second of the spoiler song for challenge Final Reckoning premiere spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message.
Okay. All right. Yes, give us Final Reckoning, episode one spoilers.
So yeah, for anyone who might have heard that Jose and Davon, I mean, Davon didn't get a confessional in this episode until she had already been eliminated in the first challenge, yeah. Which was...
Taryn, you would have really hated it, because I know how you hate night one evictions. That they basically, like, they had to ask somebody, like, pick somebody to go home. And she was like, I don't know these people. I don't know them.
Sounds like they did Jose dirty again. Like, yes. When is he going to last more than one episode?
Apparently, Jose did last based on a lot of twists on Joe's versus Pros and Stars. Mm-hmm. So good for him. But basically, two things about that if you're discouraged from watching because of them. One, they've introduced Redemption House, which is not new. So they will get sometimes multiple opportunities to come back in the house. And they usually do a little Redemption House segment. So you will get them on your screen. Also, it's great about the challenge in terms of, I feel like I'm in an interview or something. What's great about the challenge in terms of people going out early that you really like is that you're never too far away from another season and people keep coming back even if they go home first. So if they like you, they'll throw you on. It's a big cast and each challenge season, it like films back to back basically now. So you're never too far from some more Jose, if that's what you're into.
Okay, I'm hoping for it. I hope Jose has a long run and keeps doing more and more of these shows.
You want to ruin my life.
I'm such a Jose stan.
Should I quit now? Or
I'm still waiting for his pilot to drop that he told us about.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
What was it called again?
I believe it was, he said that the working title was Gag, I believe it was the name of it.
Yes, good old Gag.
All right. So, Allie, thank you for sharing all of this knowledge with us. Of course, you could listen to the challenge wrap up as part of the reality TV wrap ups feed. We could also hear everything that Taryn is up to in terms of the Taryn show and the daily live feed updates. When you go to robinswebsite.com/wrap up, what's the direct link for the challenge podcast feed? You know?
Yeah, robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. How unprofessional you think I am? I don't know the link.
I wanted to give you a chance to throw it out there. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, anything else we need to address tonight?
I don't think so. Okay. Just tune in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Of course. Yeah, you got it. You're one step ahead of me. Tune in tomorrow morning and we'll hear everything that's going on overnight on the Monday morning live feed update. You can go to rhap.live anytime to see whatever we're doing live. Of course, the LFC roundtable will be back. The Stockwatch will be updated and check out everything that's going on Tuesday night live around 8:30 Eastern on Wednesday night. We will be back to talk about everything that happens as we see the veto ceremony and how it played out, and find out how Scotty won the veto and what will ultimately happen when the veto ceremony comes around, which will be broadcast on the live feeds on Monday. And of course, Summer of Stein, I'll be recording with Eric tomorrow morning. So get your questions in bigbrother@robiswebsite.com or go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. We love hearing from you guys. More ridiculous, the better. And then of course, find out everything we're doing behind the scenes at Robin's Podcast. When you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron to become a part of our Robin's Podcast patron community. And one last thing, hey, on Monday, don't just be there for the Summer of Stein and Taryn's live feed update. It's also Amazon Prime Day, and we've got a banner right here on robhasawebsite.com. And of course, in addition to the banner, which does go to help support all of this podcasting that we're doing, you could click on this link right here to go to the amazon.com/shop/RHAP link, and you could see all of the products that I have put into the RHAP store on Amazon, including this one. Look what you can order on Amazon Prime Day: a Cure Master Reserve smoked ham, campfire sugar rubbed bone in spiral slice with three glazes. Okay, I won't ask Allie if she would order this, but Taryn, I'm telling you, it's only $82.67. Why not order a ham on Amazon Swine Day? Look at these reviews. This one has 5 stars, but says bad heating directions. Ham was delicious, but directions for heating up was wrong. 12 minutes per pound at 275 does not work. We had to turn our oven up to 400 and still took an extra hour, which put our turkey day dinner an hour late with the rest of the food getting cold. And guess, don't make the same mistake that this person made.
Well, thank you, Rob, because if you hadn't done this for us and showed us, like, this is essentially a buying guide for ham, and really I feel like the Big Brother producers could have used your help when they were buying for ham.
I don't know what the cooking instructions on vegan ham is. I also put this book in here. This is a book on an audio book on aura reading. What do you think of that, Allie? That's good. Only $24.94. Aura reading subliminal CD. So this is you. It's you just listen to it, and then you get programmed with subliminal messages on reading auras.
Now, is that audiobook music or?
Well, this one actually is.
It's an audio CD, but is that?
Yes.
Okay.
It plants subliminal messages in your mind.
So no actual reading involved in learning how to read.
No reading involved. So there you go. Okay. So go ahead and check that all out when you go to our link on robiswebsite.com. All right. Of course, follow Allie on Twitter. She's at @LashTweets. Right?
Yes.
Taryn is at @ArmstrongTaryn. Anything else?
I feel like there may be a segment of the listeners that they kind of start tuning out when you start doing plugs, and I feel like that segment of listeners really missed out this episode.
Yeah, thank you very much, Taryn. We try to keep it fun and be extra crazy when we're doing this stuff. All right, so thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I will be back with Eric Stein tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.